Dave Douglas, an activist and former official of the National Union of Mine Workers, still active in the coal fields. The announcement this week, I take it you mean on the question of the new oil and gas wells. Well, I mean it's a very welcome development. It's basic common sense, as far as I'm concerned, that we develop our own resources. I mean, I'm not totally in agreement with their particular options, because really the almost infinite fuel that we have is coal, whereas we have a very, very limited supply of gas. And continuing to generate 40% of our power from gas is a fool's errand, really, because what we should be doing is developing clean coal technology to burn coal cleanly in the power stations. The irony is that Sunak has announced two clean fossil fuel power stations, which will burn natural gas without emissions. Now, there's an irony, because the actual plan, and the Daily Mail's got a whole big picture of it, is a plan that's been stolen from Hatfield Main Colliery in 1990. In 1990, Richard Budge, who had bought the mine, brought forward a futuristic plan to build a clean coal power station at the colliery. It would produce electric power using a hydrogenization process, which burned the coal, didn't allow any CO2 to escape into the atmosphere. The CO2 was then piped underground along the Humber into the oil wells in the North Sea off the Humber ports. The Europeans put a third of the money forward. Another third was put forward by private investment, and the government had promised much funding for this carbon reduction scheme on offer at the time. And the European Union at the time called this particular plan the best carbon reduction scheme in the world, which of course it was. It would have produced the cheapest energy, something like £35 per megawatt hour, which was a third of the price of nuclear, and more than less than a quarter of the price of offshore wind and onshore wind.
Hang on, let me stop you there, David, because this isn't going to be used with coal, is it? It's a different type of carbon capture.
Well,
The one that Sunak has announced.
I haven't got to the ironic point. The ironic point is the government pulled the plug on that on a clean coal power station, which was to be called the Don Valley system, and was to be based at Hatfield Main Colliery. They pulled the plug on that by refusing to put their third in. They're now proposing to build that self same power station, to all intents and purposes, with the same carbon capture structure, sending the CO2 down the same pipes into the North Sea, only using natural gas. That's the irony.
So why shouldn't they?
Well, why didn't they do it in 1992? Save the coal industry, save all of those jobs. We have 1,000 years of coal at Hatfield. Rather than using the very scarce gas that we've got to generate power, when gas should be used for domestic and specialist industries. So if we had not been burning gas from the in power stations or chimneys, we would have had enough domestic supply of gas for people to cook their dinners on and heat the boilers with for 1,000 years. But we've burned it off in huge tracts to the point where it's now really scarce.
Well, I mean, it
Mm-hmm.
sounds from what you're saying that this is all just being done to stop the re-emergence of the coal industry. Now, I'm old enough to remember a couple of things. One of them is where we used to get all of our town gas from coal, and secondly, where we had a massive dispute in the 1970s and 1980s with the National Union of Mine Workers, where the British coal industry was under attack by the government, even though it was a very successful industry. And many would say that, to be a modern industrial power, you've got to have a coal industry.
Absolutely. Totally agree. Totally agree with that. The point I'm trying to make to you is this self same power station, it's the same power station with the same method. I mean, Richard Budge is dead now, but presumably his company or his designers have flogged it off to somebody else. But there always was an option of it using gas. As it became clear that the government wasn't keen on us making a clean coal power station that would have provided cheap energy, they had agreed to make it both gas and coal, and you could switch from one to the other. That's still the case. They could still make this gas power station also a dual-fired power station so they can use coal. If gas gets more scarce and more expensive, you could always rely on coal. But it's the hypocrisy of the whole of the strategy. The only reason why they didn't go for it in 1990 is because given a choice, and you don't have a choice really with energy, but given a choice, people would have went for the cheapest source of power, which was coal power. And the arguments that the Greens had about emissions wouldn't have applied. And the reason why it would only have been £35 per megawatt hour, by the way, is because it wouldn't have got the two-thirds tax, carbon emissions tax, because it wouldn't have been making any carbon emissions.
So can you just take us through how it works, this carbon capture thing? Many people are quite sceptical, the idea that, you know, you can burn coal and actually the carbon dioxide won't come into the atmosphere. A lot of people would think, well, that's just not possible.
Well, it is possible. I mean, the only place that's actually been, it's going to be applied at these powers, to these two power stations, one in Scotland, one on the Humber. The place where it's been applied, of course, is in Sweden, where Volvo are using a very similar process of hydrogenization to make steel without using coal, using hydrogen. I mean, in order to use that process, of course, you need virtually unlimited amounts of cheap energy, which they've got because they have hydroelectricity there. It's not unlimited, mind, but it's virtually unlimited. The process does work. It's a bit difficult to describe the process, except you more or less withdraw the CO2 in the process so it never gets to the atmosphere and is taken away in the process of producing the heat and the energy.
Okay, so why is it, do you think, that the whole of the Western world, particularly King Charles, has taken so against coal?
Well, basically, I think it's a fear of the proletariat, you know, the old Marxist slogan about the bourgeoisie tremble at the sign of a proletarian revolution. The liberal left and the conventional social democratic left hate the proletariat as well. Jack Common, the famous Geordie writer, once talked about communists who can't stand the stink of the proletariat. And the idea of having an independent group of workers with strategic economic and social power deciding their own future without Moses coming down from the mountain with the tablets of gold to distribute among the masses to tell us what to think doesn't exactly please them. And the idea that you could have an industry, you could have energy based on coal, which is dominated by National Union of Mine Workers or a similar radical union, frightens the bloody life out of them. Still.
We've just heard as well this week about the announcement about enormous great new networks of power pylons going out across the country. And yet this apparently is something that the Green Movement approves of. Now, obviously, you know, it's one thing to have a windmill on the horizon. It's another thing to have 500 windmills on the horizon. And it's another one, again, to have a further network of these ugly power pylons. It doesn't sound necessarily green to me or at all good for the environment. Simply an eyesore, basically.
Well, it's not just that, is it? I mean, this is where the Greens really have their hypocrisy exposed. You know, in the United States, I mean, the most destructive form of coal mining that there is in the world is called strip mining. It's called mountaintop removal, they call it. Well, they just simply push the top off the mountain and expose these vast coal seams Then they open cast the coal seams and walk away and leave it. There's no environmental controls. There's this huge lunar landscape with all the mountains destroyed. And of course the Greens have objected to that. But now we have a situation where in order to build wind turbines and to build solar energy farms, they're doing the same thing. They're flattening the top of mountains and doing that. Not only that, they're also felling thousands and thousands and thousands of trees in order to make solar farms and make wind turbines. The whole thing is absolute bloody nonsense.
Many Greens, I'm sure, will say that what you're trying to do is take us back to almost like to the Stone Age, because we've now understood that coal is really bad for the environment, and the more we burn it, the quicker humanity is going to become extinct.
Now, here's an irony, isn't it? You know, the reason why we're not in the Stone Age is because it discovered the motive power of coal. That's the reason why we are sitting in, houses with electricity driving cars. It's the reason why there are now 9 billion of us on the planet. It's the reason why we're living longer, generally healthier lives. Gross malnutrition and poverty are going down on the back of fossil fuels. It's because of fossil fuels and primarily coal that we're in the point of civilization that we are. But don't forget that what we're seeing here is I acknowledge that the emissions from coal are not good, which is why I've campaigned most of my bloody life, at least since the 70s, for clean coal power technology, which we developed to a fairly sophisticated level by about 1973. Thatcher and the others seen at once that the ongoing life expectancy of coal power and the nation of mine workers was going to be furthered by clean coal technology. So one and all, from the Greens to the most rabid Tories, they want to kill clean coal technology because it means that you can burn coal without emissions and knocks a little stump out of the game.
Whereabouts? We've got some big changes. Lots of oil and gas exploration. Still very little in the way of coal, apart from the one in Cumbria. Whereabouts is this heading? Because we also know that, in fact, I think it was today, on Wednesday, the 2nd, I think it is today, or 3rd of August, 2023, the Daily Mail reporting that the Greens are boasting that they are basically setting the policy on energy for Tony Blair and Keir Starmer. And of course, this is going to mean, potentially, if and when the Labour government gets in next year, as the Tories are basically in meltdown, it looks like they might well do that, just as a simple protest vote against the Tories, that he'll maybe reverse some of these changes, reverse the announcement of a new coal mine for making steel in Cumbria, reverse these allocations, the franchises for drilling out new oil and gas, and then also this carbon capture business. Starmer may reverse the lot, David.
Well, I mean, let's be right. The Labour Party is not the Labour Party that people know it is. It's no longer a party of the working class, and particularly not interested in the industrial working class or post-industrial areas. It's now a party of middle-class liberal social democrats, and they've been heavily infiltrated. The policymakers are heavily infiltrated by this. I mean, I hate using the word woke agenda, but people know what I mean by that, by these middle-class individualist identity politic causes, including rather extreme versions of green politics. And they have. Just oil and Extinction Rebellion were favourite pals of Miliband and had been of McDonald before. McDonald used to boast of how great Extinction Rebellion were. So yes, this is now their agenda. Their agenda is to carry on the attack on industrial workers and build some kind of a future based on this net zero model, which frankly will be absolutely, totally chaotic. It will rip the guts out of the economy and society at large, because society won't work like that. It simply will not work. The agenda, the hidden agenda is, people have to stop driving their cars. It's not a matter of switching to electricity, to electric cars. People know electric cars are inefficient, they produce emissions, and there isn't an infrastructure for them to work. They won't work. The point isn't to get you an electric car. The point is to stop you driving your car. Likewise, going on holidays and all of the 15-minute zones and all of those things are all part of this to close down your social, political, and individual liberties. It's a whole other agenda, which is quite terrifying. Now, people may well vote for them because they hate the Tories so much, but they need to wake up to what they're letting themselves into. But Starmer, and so far as you can believe him, said he will not undo any licenses which have already been granted. Now, you can see why that would be, because if licenses have been granted, and oil companies and gas companies go ahead at massive expense to do drilling and set up the infrastructure and set up the extraction and all the rest of it, and then he pulls the plug, somebody will have to pay the price. It will be an absolutely massive penalty that they will have to pay through the courts. Now, in the case of the Whitehaven mine, that doesn't apply yet, because there's still an appeal going through, which will be heard in October. But if that license is granted in October, then that should apply the same. They won't be able to pull the plug on the mine in Whitehaven without absolutely, totally catastrophic costs if they're prepared to pay that. The nonsense will still be there. You know, we're going to stop, under Labour's urging, as well as their own policy, stop the production of steel in Britain. I mean, Labour talks about green steel. Green steel just means recycled steel. It's not primary steel, it's not capital steel. You won't be able to make wind turbines out of this green steel. You can make your bicycles or a wok or a frying pan out of it, but you can't make a high-tension bridge or a multi-story block of flats. That steel, if it's not going to be produced here, will be produced in Europe. And if it's produced in Europe, it will need coal. Now, you can either get the coal from Whitehaven or you can bring it across from Appalachia from the other side of the world. Now, you know, last time I looked, Whitehaven's closer to Holland and Germany than Appalachia is. So there's a demand. There'll be a demand for that coal to make the steel, which, by the way, we will be importing instead of producing it here. And the final touch of irony is, of course, the emissions that we're not making in Britain, we'll be making in Europe instead. So our emissions will be made in Europe in order to import the steel here. And if people can't see how diabolically stupid that is, really, you know, it's time to give up.
One thing you haven't mentioned, which, of course, is what most of the Greens are now saying is actually the way forward in the future, is, in fact, nuclear. Nuclear is actually able to produce masses and masses of electricity. And really, I mean, you yourself are a bit of a fossil, surely, because your fossil fuels are history. Nuclear is the newest technology out there, and it can produce masses and masses of electricity. So we don't need to use these fossil fuels anymore.
Isn't it an irony, eh? That the exponents of green and environmentalism are now the fan clubs of Maggie Thatcher's nuclear program for Britain, eh? Maggie Thatcher was the one who launched the nuclear program in order to do away with coal. And at that time, nuclear was deeply unpopular because of the accidents that had been in the world. And the problems with waste disposal, which we don't have an answer to. It was deeply unpopular. And the only way that you can actually drive people, you know, like the green zealots into supporting nuclear energy was by demonizing fossil fuel and cranking up this whole thing about global warming and the earth on fire and all that. She's the one who kicked all of that stuff off. She helped set up the IPCC, you know, and all of that. But let's just be right here. We're talking about fossils. Well, I don't know if uranium is younger than coal. Personally, I doubt it. I think they're probably about the same age if we're talking about fossils. So uranium's not a fossil fuel in that sense. And it's dug from under the ground. And it's dug in wicked mining conditions with miners in Namibia and South Africa working in places with radioactive water dripping on the backs. You know, nuclear power can, when it works, produce power. The problem is, when it doesn't, we have a problem outside of a situation like Aberfan, perhaps, the people who are affected are the miners. When the nuclear power decides to melt down and go wrong, the whole bloody world is affected. That's the problem with it. But you know, I'm not. I'd rather have nuclear energy. I'd rather have one nuclear energy plant, you know, within 200 miles. 200 miles of wind turbines on every window you look out of, on every mountainside and crag-side. It's far less environmentally destructive as far as that's concerned. But how and how are they going to build a nuclear power station without coal? Can somebody tell me how you build a nuclear power station without using coal?
Well, yeah, you'd use a bit to build it, but not, you know, you use a bit to make steel, for example, for the pressure vessel.
Millions and millions of tons of coal and concrete, which you can't make without coal, build it. And how do you think you're going to mine the uranium? You're not using bloody wooden hammers, are you? You're using high technical machinery, which is made, run on oil, run on diesel, made from bloody coal. These are high-intensive industries that rely on fossil fuels for their existence.
Now, I'm old enough also to remember in the 1970s talk about acid rain. I mean, we've had lots of, obviously that's a form of pollution. And the coal industry did seem to have quite a lot of environmental critics. Now it's kind of moved on, hasn't it? How credible do you think this reason to stop using coal, particularly, I mean, other fossil fuels, but particularly coal seems to be the one that's mainly in the crosshairs there. Is this whole idea of CO2, because some scientists, they say, if you read the BBC or watch the BBC, that the science has been settled, but there's actually quite a lot of scientists that throw doubt on whether actually CO2 is the root of the problem. What do you think, David?
Well, there's an awful lot of questions in that one sentence. But, you know, let's be right. Acid rain was a fact. It was being produced by our big coal power stations, and it was drifting over to Scandinavia. So the National Union of Mine Workers initiated, with the Scandinavian governments, research, and with the National Coal Board, research to develop ways of making clean coal power stations, not just clean coal power stations, but also clean steel mills and furnaces like that. And you'll find all of that in my great book, Coal, Climate Change and the Total Destruction of the Mining Industry, where I have countless illustrations of methods of making steel, of boilers, of furnaces, and foundries, all of which smelt steel or produce power without emissions. So we've been able to do that for some time. Now, half of the funding came from Scandinavia, and we were developing the fluid bed system. We were developing the clean coal power station in Barnsley, which was another fluid bed system, which used, you know, minute amount of coal and produced tiny, tiny amounts of CO2 emissions for the amount of power that they were generating. And what happened when Thatcher got into office? She pulled the plug on them. She pulled the plug on them because she didn't want them to work. And now we hear the voices of the Greens saying they don't want carbon capture. They don't want carbon capture because they don't want it to work. They simply do not want coal, oil or gas, even if we can burn them cleanly. And that's the top and bottom of it.
Well, so the question is why? Why do they hate this source of energy so much?
I think because of the kind of industry that goes with it. Because you get mass. When we went on strike in 1984, there were 290,000 miners. 290,000 miners in the same union, the National Union of Mine Workers. We produced 90% of power to the grid. So we were a strategically, the most strategically powerful union in the country. We had our finger on the pulse because 100% of the 90% of energy was produced by union miners. Thatcher and the others hated that. And to be honest, you know, the middle class and the liberals only like the working class when we're being oppressed and when we're being booted around, and then they can have sympathy for us and they can come with the tablets of gold to tell us how they're going to save us all. They do not like it when we speak for ourselves. I don't like it when we can plan our own future, when we can say, here's what we want to do as working class people, here's what we want to do when we take control of society. They don't like them because they don't fit into that. They've always been the mandarins between classes who think they can dictate the terms. And at the base of it, I think that's it. I always conjure up the picture, you know, of a Tory, an old Tory grandparent sitting around the dinner table with a young green offspring, grandchildren at Christmas. And the only thing they agree on is that they all hate the bloody miners. You know, whether they're latter-day Extinction Rebellion, just stop oil, or old-fashioned bloody grind them into the dirt, send them back down the holes like rats, Churchillian bloody Tories. They all sing off the same hymn sheet. The whole, in terms of power and power generation and progress, there is no alternative to coal, oil, and gas, and that's a fact. And whenever you talk about Britain, only having developed in this one coal mine, coal production around the world is rising.
There's another thing. I hope you don't mind me asking you about it this week, and that's the decision of the Bank of England apparently about to put interest rates up again. I mean, what we're in the face of this horrific cost of living crisis, for anyone that's trying to pay the rent or pay a mortgage particularly, they're being asked to really just completely get rid of their disposable income. You know, it's all going on the rent. It's all going on, you know, maybe travelling to work and this sort of thing now. And it does seem to me that there's a sort of perversion about this upping interest rates, because that is simply going to mean that there's less disposable income, more businesses go bankrupt, particularly high street businesses, small things like hairdressers, people like that, just not getting people spending money on their hairdos anymore. And so what do you make of these? Apparently it's supposed to be stopping consumer spending, which may go out of control. The only thing is, actually, it seems at the moment we actually want more consumer spending in order to keep these businesses going. So what do you make of this tactic of upping interest rates at the moment, David, in the face of this massive food price inflation and all that?
Well, I agree. Yeah, it's to do with reducing the purchasing power of working people. Like the attack on coal, oil and gas, it's in order to take away the living standards and the liberties that we've got at the moment and drive us back through time to a more impoverished kind of existence. You know, we'd started to make advances as a class through unions and through social progress, and we'd reached a certain level, and now it appears that they want to start driving us back again. And, I mean, there are no immediate answers because none of the political parties pose an alternative. There's no serious alternative to the capitalist system such as it is. You can either have a wildly extremist, I was going to say eccentric, actually, is the word I was looking for. Eccentric energy policy under Labour, but scratch that and have a look underneath it. It's a liberal democratic programme. And if they form an alliance, by the way, with the Lib Dems and the Greens and the SNP, God help us, because if they change the electoral system so you will only ever inevitably vote for them in the middle, which is them, and we'll never have radical change of any description. I honestly think the forthcoming period is going to be very, very difficult, if not disastrous, for the working class. And it's sad to say that while ever the unions are striking militant postures in terms of wages, if you look at the whole civil service of the unions, and there is a whole professional middle class which has taken over the upper echelons, not the leadership, but the administration and the policymakers. It's the same people who are running the Labour Party, who run the Social Democratic Party, who run the Green Party. It's the same people who are running the whole bloody network. And we need to strike some kind of start independent organisations which are independent of them.
So if people are interested in getting hold of your book or following your work, David, what's the best way?
Well, my this we're talking about at the moment, which is topical for them to have a look at, and also it's quite predictive, really, considering what's happened. Coal, Climate Change and the Total Destruction of the British Mining Industry. You can get that from AK Distribution in Edinburgh. You can get it. This is online from me, Lucas Douglas with two S's, DouglasDavid705 @gmail.com. That's the best place to get it. And it costs you 15 quid. That's inclusive of the post. Just send me your name and address, and I'll send you the book by return.
Okay, so what about...
you can also get it at the People's Bookshop in Durham, by the way, which is a radical, great radical bookshop. A little alleyway called Angel Alley, I think. No, it's an alleyway in Durham. You'll find it at the People's Bookshop in near the marketplace.
And what about following your work then? Twitter, Facebook, this sort of thing?
Oh, yes, I'm on Facebook. Yes, I'm on Facebook. We had a number of miners' websites, but unfortunately, most of the people who ran them have now retired. So I'm scrounging about for technical people who understand the internet, because I'm buggered if I do.
All right, David Douglas, thanks very much for joining us.
Cheers now.